This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, not joined by David Ongar here on this Tuesday morning. No, no. He's busy. Well, actually, you know what? He's not busy. He's not busy. Right now, as we record this on a beautiful Easter Sunday, that man should be chilling poolside in Vegas, sipping an umbrella drink, waiting to get himself to day two or night two of WrestleMania. Instead, what do I see? I see him on Twitter in the Chair Shot radio threads, chatting away. And maybe he's bored. Maybe he can't find a beautiful Las Vegas showgirl to waste his time with until WrestleMania time. Here I am. I did all this work. I got us a very special co-host today to replace David Ongar, who replaced Greg DeMarco. Like, I've been working some rotations with some shows. But this guy was pleased that I got David Ongar to join me for the DeMarco show because it allowed him to keep his schedule. That's right. I am referring to the vice president of content and programming scheduling here at the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. That is PC Tunney. I didn't actually introduce the show. Welcome to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And I am joined by PC Tunney for today's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. So welcome, Mr. Tunney, to the shoe, as you like to say.
Yeah, really big shoe today. Really big sports shoe today. And, you know, fair enough, funny enough, I had Greg DeMarco on the DWI podcast, considering he missed out on
it. I noticed that. So the poor guy didn't make his... You know this. So we're gonna have this conversation. When Greg says, "Oh, I'm gonna tack something on or record something on a file that I sent him," we should just assume that that's not gonna happen. He made it sound like he was gonna. So, you know, Dave and I record the what should happen, what will happen episode of the DeMarco show in front of WrestleMania, and prior to that, Greg had been like, "Oh, maybe I'll be able to jump on and sort of do an addendum and like edit." He did no editing. He just put the file up. Like, he was like, "Oh, I'm going to put the song, I'll put the music on." And I was like, "Okay, dude, none of that happened," I didn't expect any of it to happen. But here we are.
You know, when you're doing it for so long, you just kind of, you're okay with not being perfect all the time, and that's okay. But we had a great week last week for content. Ray Cash threw out 5-6 different podcasts, bringing back Mags, Ricky and Clive, an Outsider's Edge edition. He had a wonderful podcast on the state of black wrestling with Ray Cash, Kenny Killa, and Rob Bennett. Greg, he made it on the DWI podcast. Dave also had Ray on. We got the Greg DeMarco show out there. Mindless Wrestling Podcast was out there. You had two DWIs. I was able to get AJ back on for some trivia and an NXT review from Stand and Deliver, which was a really solid show. So yeah, it was a huge week of content for us. And now after WrestleMania season, there's the continuation of Game Gone Wrong from Attitude of Aggression, and Unidentified History is going to be coming out soon, the debut episode, talking about what the fuck's been flying around, Patrick. So big time for Chairshot Radio Network. Tons of content.
Content explosion.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Cool. Well, you mentioned it, and I would be remiss. It's here. Happy Easter, by the way, as we record this on Easter Sunday. The heathens over here at the Chairshot Radio Network, doing our thing. Now, I don't know if you celebrate. I kind of celebrate.
I seen a picture of Rob Van Dam with an Easter bunny, and they were like, these are the three ways you celebrate Easter. 420, Easter, and WrestleMania, all in one picture.
That is very funny. I posted a meme of Jesus Christ dunking a basketball saying he is risen. That was my contribution to Easter fun here today. But as we record this on Sunday, it's Sunday afternoon where I am. Just clock just turned over to noon, so it's afternoon for you as well. Night one of WrestleMania has come and passed. What did you think of the show? What did you think of night one of WrestleMania?
So it's funny because you want to know what's like record breaking is as we record Sunday morning, a DWI podcast dropped, which we recorded yesterday between NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania. And I was like, I'm staying awake for WrestleMania. So I didn't start drinking until 6 p.m. like when it started Central Time. Right. So yesterday to this morning, you get a Sober Tony podcast. I'm sober right now. I'll be sober recording Bandwagon Nerds because I'm not drinking today. So world record breaking on Chairshot Radio Network, three consecutive days of Sober Tony podcasts.
That is unheard of, kids. So that is a big, big deal. Now, but did you enjoy night one?
I did.
Did you enjoy night one?
Here's the funny thing is I got done watching Stand and Deliver and I thought to myself, boy, that was a really good show. But there's no way that night one and two aren't going to be better than what I just saw. Night one was pretty disappointing.
Yeah,
it started.
I would agree with that.
It started with the finish to Jay and Gunther. Why is he choking him out in a sleeper and tapping him out? That doesn't make any fucking sense. We haven't had that part be part of any of the storyline. Tiffany was absolutely horrible. Without someone of the level of Charlotte, that match would have been even worse. And then the mass match was fun, but why is Paul Heyman being a physical part twice with this triple threat match between these guys so blatant? You know, it was a little clumsy.
Well, yeah.
It was a little far-fetched. Overall, I had a good time. I thought Stand and Deliver was better. I'm looking forward to tonight being much, much better.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was more excited about the final match of night one over night two. Just if for anybody who's listened to the Greg DeMarco show, we have not been overly enthused with the Cody Rhodes build character persona, particularly Greg more so than I. And so looking at the two nights separately, I even wrote this in a couple of my predictions that you can also like read some of the articles on thechairshot.com. We had all of our picks. The staff went, we missed one in sort of our collective
the
picks.
Staff collective.
I know I only missed one. I missed the which one? Oh, LOL Charlotte wins was my miss. I know that. I know only one of us got all of them right. That was Andrew Laz.
Correct. Collectively the staff went 6-1. The staff picks it over history have been really successful percentage wise. But yeah, Andrew, undefeated, only guy out of 11 people.
And so it was good for him. I do think this today is a little more has a little bit more mystery as to who goes over, who doesn't go over. So it'll be interesting to see how we shake out with that. Overall, even a bad WrestleMania to me is entertaining, and I wouldn't even call yesterday bad.
No.
I do wonder. A lot of people have talked about the Charlotte and Tiffany match. I think that there it is clear that there was something missing between the two of them all the way, even in the buildup to the match, between their promos not being good, the way they worked together not being good. It was just, it was not, nothing, it just didn't click ever. And that match was even more emblematic, and whether that's, you know, as much of it as Tiffany and her experience. Remember, folks, she's still pretty new to the ring in the grand scheme of things. They just couldn't seem to vibe. So I don't know. I'm hoping for, like, I'm like you. I'm hoping that we get a stronger night too.
Two things. And
by the time this airs, we'll know.
You will know. You'll know what happened on the Raw after Mania as well, which is usually a banger.
Right.
Two things in entrances in different matches tipped me off to what was going to happen. When Tiffany came out with the Barbie entrance, which was fucking awesome, by the way. I mean,
yes. Very good.
Great. I knew she was winning. And when Seth derobed into white, Seth Rollins is a bad guy when he wears all white historically. Go back in history and look at him in PLEs. I knew right then and there exactly what was going to happen. I think the thing I'm anticipating most tonight, I'm predicting Cody Rhodes to win. I will be happy if John Cena wins. I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I just want to be entertained. You know, I'm past that part of my podcasting career now. But do we get this Team Rock thing with Rock and John and Seth and Paul and maybe one more person, right? Like, we're hearing a lot of different rumors. I think that'd be kind of cool. So that's my last my last wrestling discussion point of the day.
Fair enough. Cool. Well, and we do have a fun little show, like you mentioned. We're gonna take a look back at kind of like the last week and a half by the time this podcast drops in sports. With you on the show and knowing you were going to be on the show, we probably would have talked about this with Dave if Dave had been on the show. But our little rundown, our mini rundown today, with Tunney on. Tunney's a big golfer, big golf fan, likes to watch golf. And if you follow the Masters last Sunday, the previous Sunday, was a historic day, historic afternoon for golf and for one Rory McIlroy. So we're going to talk about that, his win at the Masters. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs now that the brackets are set. I'm going to hold on the NHL until next week when Dave comes back, and we'll reflect on how the first round of the NHL playoffs goes. My Blues already in a hole, 0-1, lost, blew a lead in the third period to go down 5-3 to the President's Cup winning Winnipeg Jets, and nobody had that on their bingo card at the start of the season. I want to really talk about a little bit about college sports, college athletics, and specifically the current state of name, image, and likeness and the Wild West that is college players getting paid. And so that's the show. Before we dive into it, we are going to take our first commercial break really quick. We'll be back in 28 seconds to talk some golf and NBA. You are listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in one of our many Chairshot shirt designs. Only $20. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. It'll feel nice on your giblets. And to start today, I wanted to talk about the Masters. And I appreciate golf, the sport, but I am not an avid follower of the sport. I would say I am very much the Masters is on, the U.S. Open, the British Open, basically the majors, I'll tune in to check out. And, you know, we record Bandwagon Nerds on a Sunday. And if you've ever listened to this podcast, we give each other a hard time because during various sports seasons, some of us will have games on while recording the podcast. Now I go down into the basement dungeon studio. I don't have the only other screen I would have would be the laptop, and I can't run that much shit, or I will not be able to run a Skype call without the computer crashing. But the Masters, you know, one, I hate the coverage of the Masters on Sunday on CBS. And here's why. Because I would much prefer, and I know why CBS doesn't do it, I would much prefer a coverage of the whole day on CBS, but they don't. They started at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever to catch the people who are really in it for the green jacket. But this was a dramatic afternoon of golf because Rory comes in, Rory McIlroy, who does win his green jacket and gets a career grand slam. He is the sixth golfer in history to do so. But it was not without drama. And the only person I knew who was going to be watching it live at the same time was Tunney. And when Rory gets ready to go to, he has the putt to seal it on 18. All he's got to do is knock it down. And I think, did he leave it short? I can't remember. It was not a good shot. I messaged Tunney and I'm like, he's going to blow this. And you actually simply responded with, Rory's going to win it. And sure enough, first playoff hole, Rory won it, got that career grand slam.
It was such a fun weekend, to be honest with you. And basically, since 2015, every Masters has been, just like since Phil finished the third leg of his, every U.S. Open has been, can these guys finish the grand slam, right? You're talking about Gene Sarazen. You're talking about Gary Player, you're talking about Jack Nicklaus, you're talking about Tiger Woods. Who are the other? Now Rory, I'm missing one. Oh, did I say Ben Hogan? So there you go. Sarazen, Hogan, Player, Nicklaus, Woods, and now Rory. But no one had taken this long. It took him 11 tries. I think four from Player is the last time. Now, obviously, Sarazen, there was no real idea back then that this was a one of the majors. It was just a brand new kind of newer tournament. But yeah, you know, talk about the way his Thursday started, let alone he goes out, he gets the 4 under through the first 14 in the first round, throws up a double on 15, throws up a double on 17, ends up shooting even par the first day, totally dejected, picks himself back up, shoots 6 under the second day, and just barely holds on at the end. Justin Rose was hot all weekend. He started out hot. He's led the Masters after the first round a record 5 times now after this year and never won. I think the biggest thing outside of Rory, and congratulations to him, you see all the things of the past of him as a kid and his dad, and like just he was raised to be a champion, right? And not a lot of people have that in them, and he did, and he did it not only a champion but 29 times on the PGA Tour, like some 40 times overall throughout the world. Now he's got 5 majors, one of each of all of them, and 2 PGAs, I believe that's what he has. But it's just, I think outside of that, overall for golf, the biggest thing is LIV and PGA needs to dissolve or find a way to have more times a year that all the golfers are together. It was so much more enjoyable to watch an event where all the best players in the world were there, right? So
yeah,
that's my final take on it. Congratulations to Rory. He's young. He could be. I want to see if he can get to 10. Let's see if that. It's been 11 years since he won one. Let's see if this kind of, you know, how much does a polar bear weigh, you know, enough to break the ice.
Right.
Can he win more again?
One of the other things I found really interesting about, you mentioned Justin Rose. Did you know he was also the last golfer to be involved in a playoff hole in the Masters for a game to go to the playoff?
Oh, when was that? Back in what?
It was like around 2015. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
But, and he lost that hole too. Poor guy. But no, it was a crazy, it was just a crazy, interesting finish because it was like, are we going to get another Rory collapse? And so for him to do it and to see the emotion that he had after he finished it off was, you know, regardless of how you feel about a guy, you got to respect that he, you could tell he had really been carrying that. And so for him to get that, finally get that win was a huge deal. And I'm happy for it. So congratulations, Rory McIlroy. What's up?
It's funny. Wow.
Yeah.
So Justin Rose has won one major. He won U.S. Open in 2013. His best finish at the PGA is tie for third in 2012. Between the Masters and the British Open, he's finished second five times, and four of those times he was tied for second. One of them was 2015, 2017 in this past Masters, and then in 2018 and the last year's British Open. So, you know, what could have been. And before we finish the golf conversation here, folks, I think Jordan's better than LeBron. I think I go in the opposite direction. I think Tiger's better overall than Jack. I just think that. But let's not forget, Jack finished runner-up at a major 19 times. So we'll just leave that there for you.
It's unbelievable. And it's just not easy to do. So awesome. Okay. The other reason, so as I knew that Dave was not going to be on the show, and there was actually a chance that Ray Cash was going to be able to make this show as well. He's not. He might call in late, but I doubt it. Here we are a good 15 minutes or so into the program, so I would assume that he's not going to make it in. But at the time that I was putting this together, I was trying to think of sports that I am less up on that people like PC Tunney and Ray Cash could talk to me about. And that is why we are going to talk a little bit about the 2025 NBA playoffs. Matchups are set. First games happened yesterday as we record this. Here's what I know. And here's why I don't care about the NBA nearly as much as I care about college basketball and college sports. Everybody knows that I'm the college sports guy. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Kind of. Sort of. And basically since number 23 left the team, like, we've had a few bright moments here or there. Derrick Rose was a nice touch for a while. The Bulls have mostly been irrelevant in the NBA, much like they were before Michael Jordan joined the Bulls. And for the last 3 years, they have played the Miami Heat in a playoff game to get into the actual playoffs in the East. And every year, the Bulls have lost to the Miami Heat to try and work their way into the playoffs. And in this case, the Bulls, a 9 seed in the East, if you want to call it that, lost to Miami. Miami then moved on to play the Hawks. Miami beat the Hawks, and now Miami has the privilege of taking on the number 1 seed Cleveland Cavaliers, who I did see had a season where I was like, really, Cleveland? When did they get good again? And so, Tony, I'm going to turn this over to you as to just what should I watch for as the lay guy jumping into the NBA playoffs? Who, like, I've grown to just understand I should expect the Warriors usually to be there towards the end. And then I never know who to follow in the East. The Celtics. The Celtics are always good. Brad Stevens has got that thing cooking.
So the
it has for a few years.
By the time you're listening to this, you're going to have had a few more games played. But the nice thing about it is you had all of the 3-6 and 4-5 matchups Saturday. And because of the play-in, all the 1-8 and 2-7 matchups happen on Sunday. Currently, like you said, sports are on. I'm watching them. OKC's up early in the first quarter by 12 on Memphis, who is the 8 seed. So we can start with that West. The Rockets and Warriors play tonight. I can let you know that this is only the second time in NBA history where a 7 seed is favored over a 2 seed to win the entire series. The last time was the Lakers over the Suns in 2021. The Suns would win that series, though. Bucks would win that championship. That was or at the next year. I can't remember.
So what was Golden State's deal? Are they just did they half-ass their way through the season? Or
they acquired Jimmy Butler towards the end of the year with about a quarter of the season left. So that really changes a lot. They played a lot better. They're a lot more dynamic. Teams just can't be all about Steph, right? Jimmy Butler has a bunch of different ways he can score. He can back you down. He can play inside. He can drive to the hoop. He can hit the mid-range jumper. He creates his own space. So they're really better than a 7 seed. The Rockets, great season at the 2. I think the West, if we want to look at the teams that played on Saturday, the Lakers lost to the Timberwolves. I don't really believe in either of those teams. The Nuggets took care of the Clippers. I think both of those two teams are more dangerous, obviously Jokic. But the winner of that is going to have to play OKC. OKC's been really good. I feel like if you're talking about the West, it's between the Thunder, the Warriors, and the Nuggets. Now, granted, the Lakers have a bunch of weapons, right? When you're talking about Luka and
right.
LeBron and Austin Reeves, it's just whether or not they can get past the Timberwolves, who can play big. So we'll see what happens there. When you talk about the East, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan. They're a 5 seed. They got their hands full with Indiana. They got smoked yesterday. This is a 2-team conference, period, end of story. It's going to come down to the Cavs and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, mark my words. The Cavs have been getting better for a while, Patrick, right? They started off by drafting and getting Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and just letting them grow and get better and become established, really good big men in the NBA. You throw Donovan Mitchell's been on that team for a while, a guy who can create his own points better than anybody else in the NBA. It's the reason they've been together for a while now that this is a 60-plus win team. Boston is Boston. You said it. You know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the accompanying cast of Porzingis and Drew Holiday, et cetera, pretty deep bench, a good coach. So to me, it's 5 teams. We'll see. If I had to say what I would like to see, I'll say that first. We'll say what would I like to see. I think, honestly, I'd love to see the Warriors come through one last time with Steph and Jimmy Butler. If I had to bet, I'd probably say the Nuggets. But I do like the Cavs. I told Chris Platt this at the beginning of the season, and he didn't believe me. And here they are, the number one seed.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and GMO free. It features key mom-to-baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So, comments.
How's he doing with the Cavs being good?
He's trying not to talk about it. You know, he runs away from when his teams are good, and then, you know, you hear more from him when his teams are bad. But comments, questions, and concerns.
I wouldn't
Patrick
know anybody who gripes about how terrible their teams are.
Bears fan.
Oh God. I love the hopium flowing around Chicago for the Bears for this coming season. I think they will be an improved team. I don't think they're there yet. Not to shift off that, but I just hate when the Celtics are good or when the Red Sox are good or the Patriots are good, because like, Boston fans are fucking insufferable.
I would imagine when you're live in that area and you're not one of those fans, it becomes even worse.
Dude, I think the worst is the talk radio, the sports talk radio, the local sports talk radio, where no loss is ever the fault of the team losing and their like opponent being better. It's always some like grand conspiracy against the Boston franchises, and they're just. And I say this as a Cardinal fan, and so I just want to own this, because Cardinal fans are fucking insufferable. We are, especially during the peak best fans in baseball shit. Like, we were terrible. Boston, God, they're just the worst. They're the worst. It's almost like Cowboy fans. Like, they're terrible. Anyway, I hate them all. Who's a player to love during these playoffs? Like, who is someone that you would say to watch, even if they're not on a team that's going to go far? And who's the villain of the playoffs? Like, if a team gets anywhere other than LeBron, everybody should hate LeBron.
Maybe Memphis and Ja Morant, who feels like he can consistently do finger guns and throw grenades and say he's not doing that. And a guy who's already been suspended twice for publicly displaying a weapon. That seems like a pretty good heel to me. In this part of the woods, the Heat are always a heel just because they always make it. And Eric Spoelstra is such a really good coach, a 10 seed coming through.
Right.
But I think the Cavs are going to smoke their asses. If you're looking a fun young team to watch with a bunch of players, probably don't know their names, but they're really fucking good. The Houston Rockets, that's going to be a really fun series. If you're looking for two veteran teams that are going up against each other, the Nuggets and the Clippers, Kawhi's healthy and playing. That was a 2-point game the other night in overtime. The Knicks probably think they're going to be world beaters for taking care of the Pistons in the first round, who have had a really great turnaround, one of the greatest ones in NBA history. It's great to see Detroit. It's great to see, let me say this the correct way, Detroit basketball back, because it's what the NBA needs. Anthony Edwards of the Timberwolves, he showed LeBron what was up last night. So that's just some of the young talent to look out for. I'd say the two biggest, coolest first-round series that are going to be competitive to watch out for, Warriors and Rockets, and Clippers and Nuggets.
Awesome. There you have it, everyone. PC Tunney giving us a quick thumbnail breakdown of the NBA playoffs. Thank you very much. We're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about college players getting paid and how crazy this has really gotten, particularly on the basketball side of things. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, covering all the corners of the sports world. And this next topic is the one I picked for me. But I figured Tunney is as good as anybody to have a conversation about this. And that is the kind of the current state of major college athletics, particularly on the football and basketball side of things, and this idea of name, image, and likeness, and players being able to earn based on their name, image, and likeness at the collegiate level. Now, for those of you who are part of the uninitiated or don't know, for the longest time, the NCAA really hung its hat on this idea of amateurism at the college level, that these players are their payment is their education. They're coming to these schools for the glory of that school. And the naive idea that colleges and universities and boosters were not going to be doing everything they could to get as many players, you know, get the best players that they can for their programs. And that, you know, everybody who goes to Alabama, for example, was going purely on the glory and history of Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, and that there was nothing else going on when they were driving that new Porsche. And over time, finally, and as I say all this stuff, I'm going to be very clear. Players deserve to earn money based on their name, image, and likeness. And the big peak for me, and the one that I always use as an example, was when Johnny Manziel was taking over college football for Texas A&M. And Texas A&M is out there selling a jersey with Johnny's number, but not his name, and being like, no, they just... people love buying the shirt because it's a Texas A&M jersey, man. They want the football jersey. And not because Johnny Manziel was the most exciting player in college football and people wanted a jersey with his number on it. And Texas A&M being able to make money off of this star player that he doesn't get to touch. Robbie Hummel, on the basketball side of things, used to talk very famously about somebody who got dinged at Purdue because he was given free cream cheese for a bagel. And the dude didn't get like majorly suspended or anything, but like it was like this so tightly monitored thing by the NCAA.
There were guys in Madison who were getting dinged for getting a discount on shoes where they worked there.
Right. Right. Like your employee discount didn't count. And so it was ridiculous because you have, you know, teams getting dinged with this stuff. And yet on the other side of it, you also have people under the table getting all kinds of money to get players to come. And so a few years back, name, image, and likeness became okay. It became something that the NCAA had to relent on by an act of Congress, but it happened. Now, the problem that has come up, and what I think is fascinating, wanted to talk about today, is the utter lack of guardrails that exist right now for this system. And I look at it through a lens mostly of college basketball. And I'm going to use the University of Illinois as an example because that's the school I know the best. A few years ago, Illinois had a top-tier center on their team, a guy by the name of Kofi Coburn. And when Kofi got dinged the year before NIL became legal for reselling some of his old, like, jersey practice jerseys and stuff through an intermediary website. The very next year, name, image, and likeness becomes legal. He threatens to transfer to Kentucky, ultimately comes back to Illinois, and he makes around $500,000 in name, image, and likeness to play for the University of Illinois. And this number has steadily gone up. And this year in particular, it's gotten even bigger because we are waiting on a federal court ruling with regards to revenue sharing at the college sport level, which is designed to offset NIL contracts, which now will still be allowed, but have to go through an arbiter to assess fair market value. But until that ruling comes through, all of these schools have like this war chest of cash from donors that they are trying to unload as much as possible, to the point where a shooting guard that would be on a major college basketball program as a backup is making, can get NIL deals offered in the neighborhood of $1.5 to $2 million. Top tier prospects and top tier transfers are getting NIL deals that are straight up pay per play. Like, this isn't like I sign PC Tunney to a $4 million NIL deal and he does a car commercial for me. It's here's $4 million, play basketball for the University of Patrick O'Dowd. And Tunney takes it. This is all about to go away soon. It's not going to go away, I don't think. But revenue sharing is supposed to offset that. And again, try to level the playing field. It happens less in college because there's more players and less money to kind of go around. So you got to spread it out a little bit more. But, Tony, for you, you're a college student. Right now, a backup player can make more than the guaranteed money that a second-round draft pick in the NBA draft would earn. Is that right, and how do you fix it?
Oh, man, Patrick.
Not that that's not a leading question or anything, but...
When it comes to money, there's two things. One, my mom told me, if someone hands you money, take it.
Right.
And the other one that I've always found to be true is you're worth what you can get, right? That's not exactly the answer to the question that you asked. There needs to be more regulations on this. It is, you described it best when you opened this segment as in the Wild West, and this has just started with regulations. This has been happening for decades, right? Under the table.
Right.
And we've all just kind of looked the other way. It's kind of like steroids in baseball until it was not allowed anymore. But, yeah, there need to be restrictions. I think the biggest problem, though, I think it's okay. I think you need to prove yourself in the NBA, right?
Right.
And here, I think in a better structure, the problem is you're really missing out the point of a student athlete, and that's what you're supposed to be. Like, the school is just a joke. It really is. You're just a kid that just finished high school and, you're between 18 and 21 and this school wants to make money off of you either playing. And there's only problems really going to be in basketball and football, or at least that people care about. Right. And that's where you need to figure out the structure for and then apply it the rest of the way down, because it's not so egregious the rest of the way down. Those two sports make all the money. Those two men's sports make all the money in the NCAA. I think there's a better way to fix this, and it's to restructure geographically and the number of teams and number of conferences there are and take all that out of it. And I know that's a lot of money and important people and people tied to different money that do that, but, it's just stupid. It's the Big Ten and the SEC now and both of them, and that's it. Everybody else is football is easier than basketball, I think, because basketball has almost become where some of these mid-major conferences, the upper tier ones, they're getting 2, 3, 4 bids every year now. They've become sustainable, especially when you can pay now and you have a really nice campus and you're known for being in there and you know you're going to get, primetime games on ESPN, et cetera, like the Gonzagas, et cetera, like that. That's okay, but in football, it's nearly impossible. You figure in football, you have, I think it's 8 times 16 – that's 48. That's 128. That's about how many teams there are in Division I that play for the College Football National Championship, right? You need to geographically break that down into 8 conferences with 16 teams, and then it's fair because every region has the same shot. Every region spends the same amount of money. This is a dream utopia that's never going to happen. This is like booking by Tunney, where I want like no Raw and SmackDown divided, and all I want these titles here, these titles there. But I think that's how you truly fix the problem and make it fair so that every school that's there has an opportunity.
Yeah, you mentioned the conferences. And what's fascinating to me is how where the revenue comes from has changed so much. Even from, because you and I are close in age, even from when you and I were kids, it's all wrapped up in television now. And it's all wrapped up in conference deals with television. And you look at the SEC and you look at the Big Ten, and they're tied up with different networks that really like create all these crazy revenue streams, because the SEC now is basically an ABC football conference. They're on ESPN, they're the Saturday night game on ABC. The Big Ten is wrapped up in CBS and Fox now, because the Big Ten Network is part of the Fox family of television. They have the FS1 game on Friday nights. They'll have Big Noon Kickoff is almost always a Big Ten school. just like when you look at game day. Game day tries to go, like, will go to like Big Ten country, but it's almost always an SEC or ACC school. And that's where these schools are trying to, like, the Big 12 is really just fighting to survive in football and trying to find anybody who will take it. The Pac-12 died because nobody wanted to do a TV deal with them. Just died. Like, that was it.
The stupidity.
It doesn't exist anymore the way it used to.
Yeah, the stupidity of these West Coast teams being in the ACC or the Big Ten. It's the Big Ten started this when they brought in, like, Rutgers and Maryland, who have no business being in the Big Ten, right?
Penn State was the same. Yeah,
Penn State only made sense because they were, like, a Big Ten football team, you know? And they were in the...
Right, they played like a Big Ten school.
And they're in the middle of fucking nowhere. It takes forever to fucking get there, I guess. You fly in and then you got to go for a 2.5-hour drive. You're like, what the fuck is this? Where's my helicopter?
Exactly.
But, yeah, man, I'm just like, think about that. Think about if you put all the pins of 128 schools that are going to be in for the National Football Championship for Division I, right?
Yeah.
You put them all in the board geographically, and you divided them into 8 equal 16-team conferences, and you started from scratch and went from there. Like, that would be – that's fair.
I would much prefer that than watching Illinois play UCLA and
it's so
USC.
Stupid. It's so stupid. Like, you can get away with it. I'll give you getting away with it as far as being a student athlete for football when you play once a week and it's boom and come back.
Right.
But for basketball and, like, what about, like, these girls teams and, like, volleyball and, like, all these other sports that don't have any money and now they got to fly all around the country for this shit?
Right. So, yeah, there's no good fix for it. I will say, bottom line, I still think the players should get paid. I think that we are close to the Big Ten and the SEC saying, thanks, we're doing our own thing. Like, I think that may happen. Who knows if that's 2 years down the line or 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line. They're becoming bigger than college sports in the NCAA as it's on its own. And it's the NCAA's own fault that they are where they are right now because they punted. They kicked the can down the road so much on whether it's rev sharing, players getting paid, help managing conferences, all of this stuff. They were like, no. And I think they just assumed that Congress would side with them. And then Congress was like, no, you're basically getting employees for free. That can't happen. You have to share some of that money. And the NCAA has been like, well, what do we do? And they don't know what to do. So, fun little topic. Thanks for indulging me on that one, Tony. It is time to wrap up this program, though. Before we get out of here, put over the network one more time and how they can listen to you on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
You can follow me at PC Tunney. You can find everything podcast-wise for Chair Shot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, et cetera, and, of course, right there on thechairshot.com. And let me tell you, folks, thechairshot.com, tons of great wrestling coverage. If you missed something, go check out Andrew Belaz or Stephen Mitchell's review. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And you can follow me on all of your social media platforms at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. I just want to once again thank PC Tunney for stepping up in Dave's absence. Dave, when you listen to this on Tuesday, just know I'm still judging you for having your phone and the app open while you're out in Vegas supposed to be enjoying the festivities. Close the app, bro. You're at WrestleMania. Close it in the past. You know what you've done. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back next week with Dave, where we're going to definitely talk NHL hockey playoff talk. By that point, the Blues may be swept. Tony's got a finger up. What's up, buddy?
I forgot. I just wanted to say, all you sports fans, make sure you listen to Pod Is War this Thursday as we preview the NFL draft.
Oh, that's right. Exciting times. Looking forward to how that all breaks out and where Shedeur Sanders goes and if he's worth it.
From Green Bay. The draft is in Green Bay.
Oh, it's in Green Bay. I thought you were asking for Green Bay to draft Shedeur Sanders.
No.
I was like, No. Wouldn't you prefer Travis Hunter?
No. Oh. Yes. Yes. They're not getting any of them. They'll get like a corner late in the first round.
There you go. But we'll leave that to Tunney and company. Dave and I will be talking hockey next week and probably some baseball, as it'll be time for me to get depressed about the St. Louis Cardinals on the verge of getting swept today. So that's always fun. Four-game sweeps make you feel good about your team. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.